Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show. I am MKT, the wedding guy. Fresh out of two weddings in 2.5 weeks. What a cracking time. Anybody who listens to the show and has done for a long time knows I would rather have hot coals in my eyes than go to weddings in general. But I guess everything changes when you really care about the people, you know? So this past weekend, well, I mean, it was really a week, really. It was a week emotionally. I was the best man at a wedding. Sensational stuff. We'll talk about that. That'll be the first part of the pod, just so you know. Then I will do where I was right, when I was wrong. I will finish off on a mailbag question. The mailbag. How do you get in the mailbag? MKT at the MKT show. .com. MKT is me. I am MKT. Mbulelo Kaele Tutinda. Hope you had a cracking week. I've gotten into some training, you know, good rhythm, even with wedding season. Got into it. Got stuck in there. You know how it goes. Otherwise, MKT inspires, slide in the DMs on the gram. The gram. That's what the young kids say. They also say standing on business. Standing on business. It's what the youth, you know, in the youth are you thing, expressing themselves, putting themselves out there, being brave in an ever more accelerated world filled with tremendous complexity. They say, stand in our business. Tell you a quick story about that. Maybe I've told the story before. I went to, obviously, pundit at the World Cup final, Italian tailored suit with a Mauritian cotton shirt. We don't need to go over this. Arguably the greatest pundit in the history of World Cup finals, rugby World Cup finals. That's what the streets are saying, because I'm standing on business. Return from France, you know, South Africa, the sun, friendlier people, very nice. Friend of mine, I was there with him, will not mention his name. Here's the irony here. While we were in Paris, myself and this friend, we went out for dinner with his then girlfriend's sister and her friends that side. Met the most dramatic person you could ever wish to meet. I hope I never see that guy again. Terrible human. Not the point. The sister and her friends were lovely. All South Africans. We returned to South Africa and him and I go for dinner. And he says to me, "Bro, you're not going to believe this. My girlfriend broke up with me." And he said, so he's kind of like my age, you know, too old now to be on a streets like that and with the culture. And he said, he was like, "Hey, you know, as she was breaking up with me, I said to her, look, what can we do to fix this?" And he was keen to stay together. You know, he thought they were on a good wicket, but stuff happens. And she was like, "Nah, I'm out. I'm standing on business." But he's quite an old school guy. And one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me was he had no idea what that meant. He said, as she was saying that, in his mind, like, obviously he's good, like, they're breaking up now, and he's not really like an emotional guy about it, like, whatever. But she's kind of in her 20s, and, you know, he's more my age, like mid-30s. And she said, "Nah, I'm standing on business." And one of the most hysterical things, as he was telling the story, he still had no idea what it meant, because he's just one of those guys who just, he works. Like, I think I work hard. I really do. Like, I'm addicted to my work. I love my work. I'm entrenched in it. You know, I love working. I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world. I just love working. But this guy takes it to a whole nother level. He is always working. So he's one of these people who are just, he is not on social media. He is not on, He is just making money. He's printing paper, this guy. But that's all he wants to do. 24/7, work, 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 making deals. I mean, going to dinner with the guy is an absolute nightmare. But at the moment, he told me, he still didn't know what standing on business meant. And I could see as he was reliving the moment, he was as upset then, or in the moment as he was explaining to me, as he was then. It was absolutely hysterical. And it was myself, his business partner, and him. His business partner was surprised that I knew what standing on business meant. Because she's like a bit of a sister, you know? Like, yeah. And she was actually giving a talk the next day, I think, on women's role in modern society or something along those lines. And she's a bit of a soul sister, you know, a conscious woman, if you will. I don't know what the correct term is. I don't really use these terms. I'm just like, if your people get on with it, just try not to be a murderer. Anyway, so we laughed about that because he was actively upset. I think he was upset at two things. Obviously, like, oh, okay, broke up with my girlfriend, whatever. But now, what does she mean, standing on business? Like, what does that mean in his mind? So we talked him through it. It was absolutely hysterical. Heard standing on business this weekend. Again, a friend of mine used it in an incredible context at the wedding. I can't really tell that story again because you had to be there. But he nailed it. My dream is to encounter a situation where I get to use standing on business in context. Standing on business. The youth are youthing. All right, let's get into the show. International football break is... international football is just so rubbish. Why are England playing Brazil? What a joke. Like, oh my goodness. Anyway, talk about that. I cannot stand the international break. Friendlies. That makes me sick. Euro qualifiers, AFCON qualifiers, Cannon Ball qualifiers. I get it. Like, there shouldn't be friendlies anymore. Just make it qualifiers only. Scrap the international breaks, right? And even if you're giving leagues breaks, I understand the players are fatigued. Just cut the international thing in half. Make it Euro qualifiers. And by the way, make the Euro qualifiers also World Cup qualifiers. Or if not, make Euros a big part of World Cup qualifying. So like the top eight from Europe or however many should just go directly. In fact, anyone who qualifies for Euros, it's 16 teams. I think it's, what, of 32, it's what, 24 teams are European? Or is it 20? Whatever, how many go to the World Cup, especially with the expanded World Cup. Just make the 16 teams that qualify for Euros, they're in the World Cup. Okay, fantastic. Now everyone else has to qualify. Why do England have to qualify? Like, why does Spain have to play Azerbaijan? And people say, oh, don't be an idiot. What are you, some commie back in Stalin's day? I'm not. I understand the economics behind it. Can we not find the money elsewhere? Surely. Because that's all it is, right? It's Seferin and these guys. And listen, they do have to make money. I get it. There's got to be another way. There has to be another way. Like, how much money do FIFA need as well? How much money do they need? You've got so much money. You're charging us through the orifice to watch rubbish football 95% of the time. The only time international football is worth it is the World Cup, Euros, AFCON, and Copa America. Unbelievable, these guys. Unbelievable. Anyway, that's the racket they got going. Good luck to them. I am currently in discussions with UEFA on some stuff. So I'm a hypocrite. I shouldn't be taking their money if I think they're giving us a rubbish product. But I'm trapped here. How much money do FIFA and UEFA need? But I am trapped. I'm currently in business dealings with UEFA. More to come on that. More to come in the summer. Hint, hint. I mean, if that's not a giveaway. But we're still in talks. Let's just say I'm not liking the way the talks are going. Might have to find my own way there. Or not go, to be completely honest. Wowee. Corporates. They are such bastards, these corporates. They are such bastards. It's like, you're all old. I'm like, stop wanting to do content like it's 1850. No, there's a reason why nobody watches your programs. Oh my goodness. UEFA, one of the most painful. I would rather give birth through my penis. Honestly, I would rather give birth through my penis than have to deal with these guys. They are so painful. It's good. I'll probably end up not going at this rate. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'll just go to the Olympics. Who are also, I'm also in talks with them. They might be worse. They are so regulated. They are such bureaucrats. It's, you know what the problem is? It's a bunch of nerds that don't actually care about what they're doing. Like, I don't think the people I'm talking to at UEFA especially, Olympics, nah. But I don't think the people I've spoken about on both sides, I've spoken to one or two cool people. But I don't think they care about what they're doing. They're just like at work, you know? Which is fine if you're an accountant. Like, I understand if you're in finance, but if you're in the content division of the two biggest events in 2024, you should at least like have some feeling towards football or the Olympics. Like, the people I've dealt with, it's just, they might as well, honestly, you might as well be talking about some child who died in the copper mines of the Congo. And it's just like, oh, well, you hate to hear it. Let's keep it moving, kind of. Like, I'm sorry, that is how disconnected they feel. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anywho, went to a wedding this weekend. Obviously gave a fire speech. I mean, what are we talking about? So, quick backstory, some context. You ever go to corporates and they say, what's the context? Oh, corporate people think they are so clever. Hey, circling back. What's the context? I mean, just put me in the picture here, guys. Sorry, I've been in lots of other meetings. What's the context here? Oh my God. Why don't you just read the notes? I think it's Bezos who forces guys to read notes. What's the context? Just, sorry guys, I've just been really busy. You know, this campaign's been, oh my word, it's been too much. What's the context here? Just everyone catch me up. Just give me a 5-minute catch up and then we'll be on board and we can move ahead. Sorry guys, sorry. Oh my goodness. What's the context? The context for this is, so my best friend, I consider him my best friend. He made me his best man. Obviously, I gave an unbelievable speech. Now, it was the most important speech of my life. And I took 4 months to write it. Obviously, it was a banger. Everyone was like, oh my goodness. Everyone else's speech was a little bit left and right. But your speech, 3.5 minutes, by the way. Actually, 4 minutes in the end. But it was fire, obviously. I mean, I do this for a living. And I'm bloody good. You know, listen, let's not play around. If you want an MC, if you want the best MC in Africa, I don't know about the world. I think I'm moving into the top sort of 5% in the world. I'm very, very good at what I do. But giving a speech is not the same as doing my thing. But what is the same is preparation. So I'm a preparation guy. I don't do wing it. I don't do any of that nonsense. I do not do that. I don't believe in that. Not if you want things to be good. In my world. So, obviously, gave an unbelievable speech. But this venue, by the way, where I was the best man, and a lot of people say, oh, best man. I said, oh, let me just clear things up here. I'm not the best man just at the wedding. Because it's very easy to think, oh, that's my title for the wedding. No. Any October moving forward in your life, on a Thursday afternoon, the 2nd of October, right? When there's no wedding, I'm still the best man, is what I said to people. Let's just get that right immediately. I'm not just the best man at the wedding. I am in general the best man. I said, damn right, and don't you forget it. So I was the best man. And we were at this wedding venue in the middle of Houghton. So if you don't know, if you don't live in the Republic of South Africa, Houghton is a rather affluent, well, with the way things are going, it's still got hints, bubbles of affluence. Let's say that. But one of the more affluent areas in Africa and the world. Some of the richest people in the world still live there. And it's where Nelson Mandela's family have run his house down and they have to sell the rims off his car, basically, because they're all a bunch of useless children. The Mandela kids are the most useless kids in the world. The house is in Houghton, the house you've seen in the newspapers that is now derelict because they're a bunch of uselesses. They thought their surname was worth something. You're not royalty. Anywho, they live in Houghton. These are the kinds of people who live in Houghton. unbelievable venue. I couldn't believe it's in my own city. Like, Johannesburg gets a bad rap. Johannesburg has everything. Like, it's the richest city in Africa. Of course it's got everything. It is the greatest economic machine in Africa. Of course Johannesburg is everything. I don't know why I was surprised, because I'm a freaking idiot. Anyway, like, I mean, this guy would be my best mate if he wasn't. He's pucker. Like, he's the real deal. And his wife is... I mean, what are we talking about? What are we even talking about at this stage? She's not the kind of woman to be playing around. I don't know how they picked it, but she wouldn't be having her wedding at some mumish venue anyway. So I'm not shocked at them picking it. It's just I'm shocked, actually. It's in Johannesburg. It's in Houghton. It is unbelievable, this place. I forget what it's called. It was absolutely unbelievable. One of the nicest places I've ever been to. And there's a suite at the place where you can stay. And he was staying there. It's like a whole apartment. But like old school, you can tell the wood is real. The marble in the bathroom even, just it feels like you're in 17th century France. Just like 5-star. I mean, knowing this guy, right? This guy does not play around. He is like high character guy, and he does the, he doesn't waste money. One of the things I admire about this guy is he's never been one to waste money, but when it's proper, he'll put his money that way, you know. Twice my best mate, you know what I mean? Somebody's not mucking around. He's not wearing gold chains. There's no need for a gold chain. You're not Tupac Shakur. You're not. Who may or may not be dead, like Marcus Yuster. Different story. Anyway, incredible venue. We get there. And obviously, he's black. 2 weddings. So his wife is what we in South Africa call colored. Mixed race, wherever you are. Don't get emotional. I know you ever seen the Europeans? Colored. Oh my God. You can't say that. Relax. Europe's not the only place in the world. We have other places with different colloquialisms and language. You don't own the language. Naturally, language evolves in different parts of the world. Different dialects have evolved. So here we say colored. They say mixed race up there. I mean, they just say black, actually, but whatever. Anyway. But she's not the colored most people are thinking in the racist stereotype. Because actually, her family is from KwaZulu-Natal, but not like, you know, in the Model C, you say Umhlanga. They're not from that. They're from Newcastle. So her family is deceptive because they speak proper Zulu. And her grandmother, who is beloved by her granddaughter, who is obviously the bride, spoke isZulu at the wedding. But I mean, if you close your eyes, you would think, oh, is that Nkosazana Zuma talking kind of thing, you know, like, wow, is this one of Msholozi's wives? Which it's not, by the way. But so they are really, really Zulu. That is my point to say, is you know what the blacks are going to do? They're going to have 2 weddings. 2 weddings. There's no, a lot of people going, oh my goodness, there's no need. I agree. But I was wrapped up. I'm the best man. You got to play your role. It's not about you. Have your own wedding if you just want to have one wedding, is what people are probably saying. Anywho, both weddings bangers. The second wedding, traditional, obviously. Don't know why they don't have the traditional first. It's in the wrong order. Anyway, let's not get into it because I maybe the one of the best weekends of my life. Anyway, speech was sensational. Nailed it. This was on, I don't know, Thursday or whatever. Can't remember. During the week sometime. Absolutely nailed that. Music was great. Cut the cake. Couldn't find the cake afterwards when they cut it, by the way. Could not find the cake when they cut it. So I was unhappy about that. But eventually it was sort of next to the dance floor. Eventually found the cake. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you eat cake. Of course I can. I'm 10% body fat and I work out like a machine. I can eat whatever I want all the time. Hashtag discipline is freedom. Anyway, quick story about this guy. All right. So I'm the best man in general. Of course. Nailed it. Did the bachelor party a couple of weeks ago. Padel. The boys went out. It was unbelievable. Speech was fire. tell you about this guy quick. So I said in my speech, you know, very rarely are people going to come into your life and change it. Because there's very few people that are of high character. Like, usually people, and so in genetics, something I've learned through genetics, particularly females in every species, including human, is observe repeated behavior. That's what women are attracted to, actually. So which is really, really, and that, by the way, ladies, is out of your control. I'm not just saying that to be clever. That is a billions of years of evolution. That is so deeply woven into your genetic drivers. It's how you get safe. Anyway, very rarely do people come into your life and change it. And when I came back from the United Kingdom, I traveled the world a little bit, and I was, let's just say, not the highest character person. Not the person I see myself as now. People don't change as well, so I've got to keep an eye on it. Anyway, so this guy came back into my life because we went to primary school together, but I'm his sister's age, actually, and he's a little bit... But we knew each other. He was a good soccer player. We kind of knew each other. We were the Mandem, and there weren't that many black people at Bryandale back in the day. So, great guy. But that happening, especially where I was and the type of person he is, you know... I said in my speech, if he hadn't come into my life and my life carried on going the way it was going, I don't think I would have a relationship with my family now with the way I was behaving. And because you can never say, right? You can never say if you didn't have people who held you accountable. But of all the people, not just holding me accountable, but he was really, when I say there for me, I mean, he was there for me. Like 100% of the time. And I don't believe being there for people is just nicey-nicey. In fact, less nicey-nicey. Let's do less nicey-nicey if I love you. Let's just get it back on the tracks. Anyway, it's how I was raised, so I'm biased there. But he is the nicey-nicey person. He really does believe in human beings. Incredible trait that I do not have. But, you know, to say a person has saved your life seems dramatic. Like, I think often people go, oh, my goodness. But he really did, because I would not have the relationship I have now with my family if he wasn't there to hold me accountable and keep reinforcing that he believed in me. He did it like nobody else. I mean, I do have a small core of very, very good friends, but he took it to a whole nother level. And in that, we developed a relationship. He led me into his family in my most troubled times. And if I look back, I wouldn't be friends with the person I was then. And I would not let them into my life right now. Absolutely not. Forget it. Forget it. So that is to say, in my speech, I said, you know, obviously, I'm a natural storyteller. So I started it off in a certain way, you know, because they're Zulu. So started off with a bit of Xhosa banter, landed, warmed up the room, you know, warmed up the room, a bit of foreplay. For the youngsters out there, you don't just get to the good times. A little bit of foreplay, some candles, dim the lighting, get some Barry White in the background. You know what I mean? But a foreplay, you got to, you know, grease the proverbial wheels. Grease the proverbial wheels. But in my speech, I said, you know, I wasn't in my eyes the best man. I was the luckiest man there, and I mean that every day because. When you have people in your life like this, it's very difficult to do badly. Like you could, the worst I think I could be with a friend like this, with somebody, and I consider him more of a brother than a friend, to be honest. I really do view him as a brother. Like sometimes I do have to think, oh yeah, wait, I'm not actually related. But when you have people like this in your life, in my opinion, if you find... And they're very difficult to find because high character is very difficult to find because it's got nothing to do with being popular. And most people are so outward facing. Whereas he's just like a consistent human machine. Eh? Just everything's like he just keeps churning it out. No one's perfect. I don't expect perfect. I expect consistent. He is a picture of that. And he's very kind. You know, in that sense... When you have people of this high character and you consider them family or whatever it is, I think if you've got anything about you, and I'd like to think I've got something about myself, it's very difficult for me to do badly. Like I the worst I can be when I have a brother like this is I can just be mediocre. My life will always be mediocre purely because I think something of myself, and the highest form of love that I've ever experienced is people having expectations for you. I think most people's souls go to die in relationships, in whatever. Maybe you've had this in your world. Is there's nothing worse than your parents having no expectations for you. Your mother having no... So when I have someone like this who has expectations for me, and it is constantly expressed, whether in his actions or just when we do our thing, you know, I don't want to say eternally grateful isn't the right one, because that sounds like I want to start a yoga studio. It's, I'm so glad I made this decision. Like, I'm so glad I made the decision to dig into the friendship, because it literally changed my life. Literally changed my life, my mother's life, my sister's life, and hopefully everyone else's life who comes into my life now. Because I wouldn't be the man I am today if he wasn't there. If he wasn't with me on the journey in the worst of times and now. So I couldn't be happier for him. And his wife's a cracker as well. So none of this Instagram, these thoughts on Instagram, none of that. She's got a master's. She went to Columbia. We're talking about the creme de la creme. She's not a freaking idiot. There's so many people who marry hot chicks that are just freaking idiots. So not only is she hot, but she's not an idiot. She's got a master's. She studied around the world. Studied in SOAS. Maybe you heard of that. If you haven't, you heard of a little town called London. So she's globally educated. So what are we doing here? Now, marriage will not be perfect. Anybody who expects that is an idiot. And neither of these two people are. But I loved what the boys had to say as we were there, you know, at the traditional in particular, is we are married now. And for me, like, that's a real thing. It's like, well, I'm going to be around forever. So I am now married to this beautiful woman. And everyone else is. Like, you know, it's not a massive group of friends, but there's some stellar humans there. And the message is, we are married. We are married, and we truly are. What a family. What a bunch of people. Her family is incredible. I'll tell you what. You know, I met her father. And when I met him, because, you know, I'm actually a very patriarchal person. Very patriarchal. I didn't realize this about myself until I've been talking to people lately in life over the last couple of years. But I am a patriarch. And one thing I didn't realize was how I recognize and love when I see a real patriarch. Because I say I'm a patriarch. I don't have kids. I don't have a girlfriend. I'm living... And this is where this guy and I, Shimi and I, are very, very different. So this guy's name is Shimi, who got married. Is I'm a very, very selfish person. Like, I live alone, bachelor, no kids. Like, I do not need to answer to anybody ever. I'm just out there. Candle in the wind. Oh, well, shout out Elton John. Hopefully I don't blow out like the candle in the wind. But he's extremely giving, this guy. That's another thing. Like, he's so giving. I am not. I am not. I want to be very clear. And he's a good person. Like, I do not pretend to be a good person, by the way. I do not pretend to not say stuff like, hey, let's call it out here. What are we doing? Whereas he's just a good, he's just a solid human. But this, his wife, Dominique, his wife's father, when I met him, I said, that's a matriarch. Because what the world is trying to do is squeeze any form of masculinity away, right? Like, we're in the soy boy era. Like, I'm not having that, by the way. I'm not PC guy. I'm not having that. I'm all for patriarchs who allow matriarchs to do their thing. Anyway, maybe a different podcast. But her father is such a patriarch. Like, you meet him and he's just a gent. It's like, oh, that's what a gentleman looks like. Again, I'm not saying perfect. The older we get, we realize our parents are just doing their best. But you meet him And he speaks obviously that deep Zulu as well, but he just carries himself, the way he shakes people's hands. And so he's a headmaster, right? And an educator. When you meet him, you're like, oh, that's why you're that guy. That's why you're that guy. But you have to meet him and you just see like, oh, indoda. He's not actually a man, indoda. Like in Nguni, you say indoda. That's a guy. And he's so, his ability, I mean, he came to the bachelor party and he was just, you know, with those patriarchal men, where they're willing to engage with the youngsters. If you're raised in a conservative environment like me, I'm African. My father's very, very conservative. My family, in that sense. So the patriarch thing really matters. But this guy, he was just willing to be with the boys. And it's like, oh, he's willing to give people a chance. With that kind of person, you know, don't go and play there, because he's willing to be one of the people and be in amongst us, when we know you can feel... You shake his hand. Even his handshake is the handshake of a man that's not playing around. And he's got a very, very sort of calming nature to him. When you shake his hand, it's like, okay, there's safety happening here. He's an amazing man. You know, just getting to meet him, and you think to yourself, and then you see his daughter and you're like, oh, that makes sense. Because that's your dad. Like, he's a real guy. He's that guy. There's a lot of people out here playing around, guys. We have to say it. There's a lot of people playing around. But then you see his daughter, you're like, oh, of course your daughter's going to be like that. Because look at the dad. I mean, the mother's fantastic as well. Didn't really get to, I haven't really gotten to know her much as well. But I've met the father a couple of times. We've spoken now a few times about life and all things in general. He's just that guy. And then you're like, oh, so if I'm a father, this is actually how much work. Oh, okay. That's what happens. If you're a real guy, your daughter goes to Columbia. She's not messing around at UJ or whatever guys are doing and thinking they're the big cheese. No, they go to Columbia and SOAS and smoke it and then get a master's as well. Like a global, not one of these play masters, like I'm globally educated. And that was one of my favorite parts of the weekend, outside of being the best man, of course. I mean, is meeting this guy and getting to know him. Dominique's father, what a guy. What a guy. What a guy's guy. You know, that's going away in life, hey? I think that's what I loved about it anymore, is I'm just a dude. Like, I'm not into, stop playing around here. Like, I'm not like an intelligent person who wants to get into the minutiae of life. Like, I don't have that place where I'm supposed to have those emotions. I'm just like, oh, you're a dude, let's get on. Get on with it. Can you be a patriarch? Can you keep people safe and give some direction? That guy's awesome. That guy is awesome. What a weekend. And I should probably end it on this. So Shimmy's sister is one of the most ridiculous people you will ever meet in your life. You've never met such a big character. She is, and there are people that are putting it on a little bit, but she's actually like that 24/7. She's constantly at a 9 of just, she's hysterical. She's a walking ball of hysterics. And she's also, there's something upstairs as well. So it's not just like a waste, you know, but it's always at a 9. And she is, so it was incredible to spend more time with her as well and just be in the mix with her, turning it up to 11. For a couple of days. It was absolutely sensational. She is one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And naturally as well. She's not doing too much. Hell of a weekend. Hell of a wedding. Hell of a speech by me, by the way. Oh, brought the house down. Are you kidding me? Had the mother yesterday at the traditional going, oh, loved your speech. I said, thank you. I put 4 months into it. It's the most important speech of my life. Well, what did people think? I'm just going to show up there for somebody who's done so much for me. What do you think? I'm going to get up there and ramble. I'm 10% body fat. Well, what are you even talking about? Shave all the fat off. Just talk about the good stuff. This, my speech, nobody will forget it. Nobody will forget it. Well, you think I'm going to pitch up there and just ramble about my feelings? No. I tried a couple of speeches on my family. Like, oh, what do you think of this? Not bad. Take that out. My speech was 10 minutes in the beginning. That's how I started it. But obviously, I'm a natural storyteller. I need a 10 minutes in my mind. I'm a natural storyteller. I can get caught up. Instead of that, though, shaved it down. Obviously, I'm an artist at work. An orator of the highest order. Got to shave it down a little bit. Stop messing around. It's very difficult to be interesting for more than 3 minutes. In the end, 4 minutes or so. Just over three and a half minutes. Boom. Banged it. It's going to go down in infamy. Everyone. People who I didn't even know. Oh, Mr. Best Man. I said, by the way, not best man just today. Throughout my life. Damn right. What a speech. Loved your speech. I said, damn right you did. It took me 4 months to get it where it is. If you're ever going to make a speech, prepare. You got to prepare. Don't. The dumbest thing I've ever heard is speak from the heart. People, I've been speaking for 12 years for a living. Do not speak from the heart. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Especially if you care about something. Because if you care about something, you're not going to hit those notes because you're going to start going sideways. Prepare. Took me 4 months. And I'm bloody good at what I do. Like, I promise you, there are very few orators or MCs you're going to come across in Africa. I would even argue globally because I've MC'd global stuff. And I'm like, really? That are as good as me. Trust me. And I still over-prepare. I'm so prepared. People were shocked. They're like, oh, wow. I remember as I sat down, somebody said, oh, did you prepare that much? Because I nailed it. Not because I am very good. I am an orator par excellence. But I also prepare like crazy. Because speaking is a craft. Stop thinking, I can talk. You can't. There's levels. And I nailed it. Speech is going to go down in infamy. People are going to remember that. People are going to remember me for that for the next, I don't know, lifetime. Have you heard of forever? That's how long that speech is going to last. And I couldn't think of a man more deserving. I couldn't think of a man more deserving. To Shimmy and Dom, it's the beginning of a new season. And I think I'm more excited than they are. I'm juiced for them. They're two fantastic human beings. And hey, no one can do it alone. But we have an incredible community of friends, and both families are just stellar. So that was wedding season. It's been sensational, but it's over. I'm done. In fact, I went to 3 weddings in 2 weeks, really. 2 and a bit weeks. Because of the traditional, because of the blacks. You know what they like. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Heard a hysterical story, by the way. I can't really tell it. Let me just say this. If you're not South African, within culture, our culture, the black folks down here, we've got lots of praise songs throughout each culture, you know. And there's songs that intertwine between cultures. One of our friends is married to... And this is one of the funniest stories I've ever heard in my life. I'm not going to tell the full story. But he had his traditional, his Xhosa, obviously. So leadership, obviously, best in the business. Standing on business, if you will. So his now wife is Jewish. And he's Xhosa. So we do the singing thing big time. Especially at the traditional, we welcome the bride. Like, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. And essentially, his family was singing and her family was down there. And it's not really in the Jewish culture. And there was a hysterical story there, which I can't really tell the end of it. It's so when you generally, the groom has to be inside and sort of the gesture is the other family waits outside. And so in this circumstance, the blacks were doing what they do. The causes were doing what they do. You know, because if we're not great at sort of running a country or giving electricity, but just give us an occasion. Because we've got unlimited playlists, by the way. The amount of songs that are in the community, in the culture. Oh. So it was a hysterical story about a Jewish family having to meet the Xhosa family in song. It's not in Jewish culture to be doing that, by the way. It is, let me just say that, hysterical story, hysterical ending. which I won't share. But it was very, very funny. Very, very funny. And I call it mixing the paint. If you've mixed the paint, I'm sure you've had these stories. Like, oh my God, how do they have so many songs? How does everyone know it? Did they practice? But there's like 200 of them. How? Do they all know each other? I would imagine is some of the things that go through the Caucasian minds. All right. Incredible. Wedding season. It was spectacular. It's over. It's incredibly emotionally draining, hey? Like, it wears on you. Like, it was awesome. It was awesome. Two people I love. Two men I absolutely love. But, whew, like, it's worn me down emotionally. So, gonna need a break. Gonna need, like, a 2.5-year break. Like, maybe no weddings for another 2.5 years. Or what if I get married, people are saying. It's not impossible. It is not impossible. All right. Let's get into the sport. Do you know what I was watching earlier? The IPL. I watched like 2 overs. It's washed. Like, it's finished. What, Gujarat Titans Stadium's too big. Like, why is it empty? It's India. Like, an empty cricket stadium in India should tell you what's going on. Like, if Indians are doing other stuff and not filling a cricket stadium, you're in trouble. IPL's washed. Sorry. It's washed. Like, is it? It's not sensational still, is it? I don't get it anymore. It's saturated. Like, there's just too many T20 leagues. But this is what it is. It's where the money's going. And it's terrible. Like, I watched 2 overs. I'm like, you know what the one thing about it is? Like, none of the games really matter. There's too many games. Like, and also, I just don't know the tournaments anymore. Like, none of it matters. Like, when the tournament's over, nobody thinks IPL players are the greatest cricketers of all time. Like, no one thinks David Miller is the greatest batsman of all time because it's all a bit meaningless. It's fun, you know? And I like fun. Listen, I'm a red-blooded man. I like fun, but IPL's washed, isn't it? Love to hear what people have to say. It is washed. I got 2 overs. I'm like, none of this matters. It doesn't matter. Who cares who wins the IPL? Like, who cares? It doesn't mean anything. And isn't it like 12 years in as well? Like, I do not care. Like, I do not care. This is not real. It's not real. You know, the thing is, football, the best version is football. It's 90 minutes, it's the same. The Premier League's the best. Like, I know Test cricket is the pinnacle. Like, the Ashes is better than the IPL. Like, everyone knows the best version of cricket is Test cricket. And they're trying to force feed us the IPL or whatever. And listen, I'm not saying it's not fun. Like, I would go. I'd love to go to the IPL. Like, a week, max. Just go for the semis and the finals. That's it. I don't need to be there. The rest doesn't matter. But we know it's not the best. It's like people are trying to convince me that T20 players can be in the same conversation as like Jacques Callis and Sachin Tendulkar. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here, man. Get out of here. Love to hear your thoughts. MKT Inspires on the gram. Your thoughts on IPL cricket. T20 cricket at large. I'd love to hear what people have said. Do you watch it? Do you like it? If you're a hardcore cricket fan, do you just wait for Test cricket? Do you not? Am I wrong? Am I just an old guy screaming, yelling at the clouds? But I'm sorry. I can't do it. I'm out. MKT Inspires. MKT at the MKTshow.com is the electronic mail. All right. As I do every week on Mondays. So show will be back to 2 times a week now. I get it. People are not happy. But I was literally in the middle of wedding season. All week. I was doing some other stuff. And then all week, I'm the best man. I'm doing a wedding. I'm doing stuff. But we'll be back. Next week, I promise, from now, 2 times a week, it'll be back. There we go. And the Premier League's back next week. So let's stop playing around. Stop messing around. You know what I mean? Stop mucking about. All right, as I do every week, tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. If it is your first time listening to the podcast, 6,200 listeners last week, by the way. Most we've had on the show. Maybe I should leave it at once a week. So, honestly speaking, I don't know what's going on. Before I get into where I was right, where I was wrong, I haven't done any marketing for the show. And a couple of months ago, it just exploded. I don't know if it was the World Cup thing. Could have been that. Could have been the World Cup. I hadn't actually thought about that. But late last year, the show really exploded in the podcast. So I don't know if you guys are telling people whether you're using... Because by the way, I do know people who cheat in South Africa and they are top of like the Spotify podcasts or whatever in South Africa. I know from the inside, even the people at Spotify know who's cheating. How do I know that? I work with the people at Spotify. And have done for 4 years. So I know everyone at Spotify in South Africa. I know people that are cheating. And I'm talking about the big corporations. They are cheating, by the way. They are. We know that for a fact. You can tell the patterns of listenership. Because the analytics, that side, I've had a look behind the curtain, is absolutely astonishing. They literally know when you pause, when you change, when you listen to another podcast while you were listening to that one, when you came back to this one. The analytics have become insane. So they know that they've got a generator almost like AI now to check like if you cheated on a paper. So I've done no marketing. Every now and then I'll share it on Instagram. And I've only got 1,000 followers on Instagram and 1,000 YouTube subscribers. I don't know what happened, but super, super grateful to people that are sharing the podcast. Because last week, 6,200. I was having a look at the analytics this morning. 6,200 listens. That's the most the pod has ever had, which is amazing. So thank you. I also can't believe that you think I'm interesting enough. I can't believe 6,000 people. 6,000 people think I'm interesting enough to listen to for an hour, sometimes 2 hours a week. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Can't believe it. That's why it's unbelievable. Because I can't believe it. Anywho, where I was right, where I was wrong. If it is your first time listening, welcome to the show. It's usually a sports podcast. It's just wedding season at the moment. I've been to 3 weddings. 2 of the weddings is one couple. I mean, oh my goodness. Her family's so Zulu. It's unbelievable. Very traditional. Do not let her fair skin fool you. She's very traditional. Ooh, very traditional. Her grandmother, as she was coming up for the speech, wouldn't even let the DJ play her song. She's like, no, 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 no. I do this old school. Sang a Zulu song that probably Shaka Zulu, only like Shaka Zulu and Dingane before he stabbed him, apparently, according to the story. Probably those two guys knew the song. She was like very Zulu. Unbelievable woman. 83. Looked like she was 50. I don't know what she's eating out there. Unbelievable. Very Zulu. Anyway, they had to have 2 weddings. So I had 3 weddings in 2.5 weeks. There's no need for 2 weddings, is what most people are saying. I said, I agree, but I was the best man both then and now and every day moving forward. Had to be at both. Had to be at both. Anyway, point is, if it's your first time listening, every week I'll make a call, whether on the show or just in general on the socials or talking to people. And because I'm such a high character bloke, I'll say when I'm right and when I'm wrong. Most people don't have that level of self-worth, you know. They don't bring their best self to the front to say, I can be wrong. People are saying I might be the most humble person they've ever met. I said, no, 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 please don't say that. I'm too humble to even accept that award. All right, where I was right, where I was wrong. Where I was right, Super Rugby is a dog show. I watched yesterday. I don't even know what the team's names are. It's terrible with our South African teams. The players are complaining. The New Zealanders know that they're not playing the best. It's a dog show. I was right. Super Rugby can it. Where I was wrong, Gareth Southgate, he's getting a Manchester United link. It's being reported that they are seriously looking at him. So Jim is seriously looking at Gareth Southgate. I've always thought, horrendous manager. Like, horrendous manager. Who's just a yes man who'll wear a 3-piece suit, which I respect. But he's getting Man U links. He's being linked to Manchester United. Boy, oh boy. I was wrong there. Gareth Southgate is in the big time. Where I was right, UEFA Champions League, it is the Super League. The more I read, the more I see, it is the Super League. Stop telling me about competition and qualifying. The big teams are always going to qualify. Chelsea will be back. Man United will be back eventually. They're out-muscling everyone financially. Stop telling me it's about competition. It's the Super League reincarnate. Where I was wrong, the EPL is taking finances seriously. You're seeing now what's going on with Nottingham Forest. You're seeing what's happening with Leicester. Even though they're in the Championship, they're going to come in. They will have a points deduction when they return, if they return to the league next season. But I didn't think the EPL would take this seriously. I thought it was just a little bit of, you know, keep them quiet and we'll just do our thing. But they are taking it seriously. The EPL is not mucking about on this matter. They are taking it incredibly seriously. So here we are, English Premier League docking Nottingham Forest 4 points, and Leicester are about to have their hammer dropped on them for next season. So they've got a transfer embargo, by the way. Oh, it is all happening at the Foxes. Where I was right, Gordon finally gets called up. He's England's best winger. I don't know what we're doing, Gareth Southgate. Anthony Gordon is the best English winger. He is the best. If you pick Marcus Rashford over Anthony Gordon to go to the Euros, I mean, Man United deserve what they're getting there. It's just, it's asinine. Finally, I was right. I've said it. Gordon is the best English player in the league this season for me, outside of Bukayo Saka, but Saka's already in. Gordon is an electric factory. You play on the right, play up front, play on the left. He is a proper player, and he's got a little bit of that shithousery about him. You gotta love the kid. I was dead right. Gordon, in the English team. Where I was wrong, Conor Gallagher, what are we doing? Because I've always said he's not good enough. And then he gets in the England team, and he starts. I mean, even in a rotation team, Gareth, what are we doing? Where is Ward-Prowse? I'm sorry, I'm a Chelsea diehard. Ward-Prowse is a million miles better than Conor Gallagher. I appreciate the running. I appreciate the closing down. We need a bit more than that. Like that sort of the can-do attitude, that's for Leicester. That's for Aston Villa. That's for Everton. Like that's for Crystal Palace. Conor Gallagher's big thing is I run around. I like passion. They call it a passion merchant. I think he's a bit better than that. But do us a favor. I was wrong. Conor Gallagher in the England squad against Brazil. My God. My God. That is where I was right. That is where I was wrong. Do that every single Monday on the MKT show. Finish off with a mailbag. Should we finish off with a little mailbag here? Got one from good old Max Maglunge. Maglunge April says, hi MKT. And by the way, the way you get in the mailbag, MKT at the MKT show. So Maglunge must be like old like me. The fact that he's sending an electronic mail, an email. It's quite a long one. So let's see if we can get through it. Maglunge April says, hi MKT. Hi. I hope you're well, in good health and spirit. I am in incredible health, Maglum, MK, or if he's from the northern suburbs of Joburg, okay, call him MK, Makulungi, bro, Maccas. Oh my goodness, the Oaks must have had a good one with that one. He says, hope you're well, in good health, and in spirit. I am in good physical health. Haven't checked in on my spiritual side yet. Not really a spiritual guy, but I'm not in good health. I'm in rude health. I'm in incredible health. 10% body fat. And the thighs are thawing. The thing, them things is thanging. Them things is thanging. So thanks for asking. So he's got four questions there. He says, quick questions. It's not really quick. It's four questions. Unbelievable. But by the way, sorry. If you go to a black wedding and they say, I won't be long here. I don't want to be... people that are gathered, we want to say thank you to the family, to the others, and to all that are involved, to the husband. And then they'll say, and they have like a little ramble, and then they'll say, well, I don't want to be long. So in saying that, and then when black people say, I don't want to be long, go get another beer. Go get another golden. Top up your drink. Because that uncle who's saying, I don't want to be long, oh, he's just started the speech then. So the little 3-4 minute preamble, that his speech is starting now. He has not prepared, by the way. He's going to tell irrelevant stories for a good 10 to 12 minutes. It's going to happen. So Good old Maccas here, I reckon, has done the same thing. He says, quick questions. And then he's put four full-length questions as well. It's not just like, what's your favorite color? So let's get into it. I mean, blimey. Quick questions. On your last show, you've hinted that you'll be back on screen, going back to doing video recordings for the show. Does that mean you'll stop with the audio and or focus on video production, or you'll be doing them both simultaneously? The end is the correct answer there. So when we go back to video, the show itself will be a podcast, but there will be separate podcasts as well in this style, whether with me and I'm working on some stuff so that the show will be the podcast. So we'll be back to the same format, 2 hours a day, and that will be a podcast on its own. That'll be daily, so you'll get the show daily. But then there will be this style of show, perhaps not just me. We'll see how it goes. I might carry on, because I quite enjoy doing this, and people seem to really respond to just me talking nonsense to a microphone by myself. But it may be me and a guest. We're working on some stuff that'll be added to the show as well. So we're not just going to do the show. There'll be, I really, when we come back, and by the way, for those who do want to get involved in sponsorship or whatever, MKT at the MKT show, get involved if you'd like to discuss sponsorship. We will be on multiple platforms, including, I think I can say it now, we are going to be on television as well. So it'll be YouTube. This show will always be free in some capacity. I will never put it behind a paywall. Trust me. Just like the full show will never be behind a paywall. I've dedicated that. I want to give back to people, and you don't have to pay for that stuff. Like it's my job as a business owner to get the funding. Like, I'm not going to make people pay for the show. Like, it's ridiculous. So it'll always be free. So to answer your question, it'll be a simulcast show. The podcast is never going away. Do not worry about that. For some people who prefer podcasts, who don't want to look at my ugly face, no worries. You can listen to my mediocre voice. So that's both simultaneously. And there will be more podcasts, by the way. That will. So everything will always be visual and podcast, but we'll be adding more shows as things go by. Number two, and also, will your audio production be part of the broadcasting production company that you've hinted about, or will it be solely done as your own baby? In brackets, he says, which I think you're more effective with your audience on this side, in this side of the fence, by merely looking at the comparative analysis of your listenership versus watchship. He's put ship in brackets there, watching ship, because he realizes he's made up a word there. So once we get rolling with the new team, I'm not going to be handling any of this. Obviously, I'll still be the voice and the face of the show. It's literally named after me. But creative control, I will always have creative control. Like, that's one thing. It's why I don't really work with certain people, because corporates want creative control. My one rule is nobody must tell me how to do the content. So don't worry about that. The tone of the show is never going to change. So I will be in control creatively, but other guys, I need to hand that off because I got other stuff to do. I'm trying to grow a business here, you know. Number three, and which out of these productions, audio or video, as a broadcaster, podcaster, do you enjoy doing the most and why? This is my favorite. What I'm doing now is my favorite because, you know, podcasting is such a personal experience. When you put your earphones on, it's just you and that person telling you a story. I think it's the most connected you can be, and I'm trying to tell corporates this, but they don't listen because they are the olds. But podcasting, this is my favorite way of doing it. You make a choice to come to me, right? I'm not on some linear broadcaster, and if you're in the car on radio, you have to listen to me play music. And this is Ping Pong Jing Jang. After the break, like, you're forced to listen to that. Whereas with this, it's my favorite because anyone who's listening to this, 6,200 people, no big deal, last week, you put your earphones in. This is a choice. You are not being forced. I'm not in your face about it, and I'm not trapping you in a car, or basically I'm on TV while you're eating dinner with your family. This is a choice. So I feel most connected to the listenership on this one, and it's my favorite version of doing stuff because I'll be honest with you, I'm a natural storyteller. So I get caught up. I like the flexibility of just being able to tell stories in and around the stuff I've prepared. So this is my favorite. I mean, I love every medium, I'll be honest with you, but this is my favorite. Doing the podcast as a solo broadcaster is my favorite. I love the banter with the team and I get energy from other people, but this is my favorite. It always will be. I love storytelling, dude. I love storytelling. And number four, quick questions, this guy says. Unbelievable. Will you be a part of the Real Network, the production company you've hinted about, or you'll let our imagination run wild until further noticed? I'm only trying to connect the dots and poking into your business. LOL. He didn't say LOL. I'm saying LOL. I will categorically state I will never be a part of the Real Network. It's just Cliff Central rebranded. I already worked there. And I have a life rule. When you break up with your girlfriend, never go back. So I would never, ever be a part of the Real Network. So I'll categorically say to you, absolutely not. No, I will never be a part of the Real Network. I'm done there. It was unbelievable. I love Gareth Cliff. They seem to be doing new stuff. I haven't really kept an eye on what they're doing. So I can say to you, not now, not ever will I be a part of the Real Network. Absolutely zero chance there. Because I've got a production company, to be honest with you. So even if I join other platforms, I do the production myself. And it was awesome. Cliff Central was awesome, but it was a part of my past, not part of my future. Absolutely not. So for those who don't know, Cliff Central now rebranded as the Real Network. Hope they do well. People always ask me this. What's Gareth Cliff like? He's awesome. He's absolutely fantastic. We got along like a house on fire. Really nice guy. One of the most honest people I've ever met in my life, by the way. People always ask me. It's like, oh my God, you worked with Gareth Cliff. I said, yeah, it is good. He's a good man. He's a very, very good man. But that's a part of my past. And he's partnered up with other people now. I know who's bought into the company. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. Gareth's a good guy. And Rena, who runs things on the other side, she's pivoted to, I think, the podcast party. So they're doing their thing. And phenomenal. But absolutely not. Real Network, forget it. Zero chance. I'm not interested. It's not my thing. It's not my LSM. Not for me. Not for me. I have a production company, dude. I have a production company. So I take my production company. We are plug and play. No matter what platforms you are on, I can produce for YouTube and television at the same time and create podcasts. So thanks in advance and continue inspiring. MKT show listener, I'm out. Magulunge. Appreciate you, brother. Those were the quick questions from MK. Mac is my boy. Good old Mac is April. You know what I mean? Magulunge, April. To all of you, I thought I'd finish off on this today. I've come out of a season of love. You know, somebody asked me yesterday, an old friend, Angie. She's come back from, she works in Dubai. She's doing big things. Said to me, do you believe in love? And I said, no, I don't. No, I don't. I believe in similarities. So a lot of people go, oh, no wonder he's single. But I don't believe in love. I believe in similarities. My mother used to say to me, opposites may attract, similarities keep us together. So in all of this is one thing I've realized is I've done good. I've done good in terms of the friends I've picked because the one similarity everybody's had over the last 2.5 weeks, completely different friend groups, the two men don't even know each other, is that they are loved and they are loving. And I was thinking about the connecting strand from the last wedding to this one. It is that they are connected people. People want to be there for them. And it makes me, I'm very proud to say, oh, I've chosen, I've done well. 90% of this friendship group is men that I want to be like. Nothing. No one's perfect. You can't love everyone. It's not honest to say, oh, all of the people that are in the friendship group. No, I'd say 90% of the men in the friendship group are people I want to be like. And so both men who have gotten married, Jesse and Shimmy, over the last 2.5 weeks, they are loved. And it's something that I hope I am, you know, and it's hope, I hope I can give that to other people. There is nothing better than being loved. It's the height of, and when I say love in this sense, I mean it in the platonic sense. She was asking me about romantic love, and I said, no. I don't believe in love. I believe in similarities in the romantic sense. But even within friendship, they are loved in the sense that people will do anything to them, for them, beyond their needs. And it was very, very clear. People sacrificed from around the world to be around both people for a week. I hope that I have that, because they deserve that. Both people deserve that. I've come out of a season of love and warmth and just similar people who want other people to do well. It's been incredible. So I hope you may find that in your life as an individual, as family, as a couple, whatever it may be. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the MKT Show. My name is MKT. And for now, I am the hell out of here.